The Front Page Podcast, named one of iTunes' best in 2010.
On Monday's Front Page, the opposition in Egypt is beginning to unify around Nobel Peace Prize winner Mohamed El-Baradei. He could become a consensus figure for Egyptians who are demanding the ouster of President Hosni Mubarak. Afghanistan's main bank may have lost $900 million. And Wikipedia wants more women among its contributors. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Egypt's powerful Muslim Brotherhood and the secular opposition there banded together around Nobel Prize winner Mohamed El-Baradei. He'll now negotiate for the forces demanding the removal of President Hosni Mubarak. El-Baradei has criticized Mubarak. On Sunday, he also criticized the Obama administration. This, as Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton delivered the message on the Sunday news programs that Mubarak should arrange an orderly transition to a more open Egypt. El-Baradei called that a failed policy.
The American government cannot ask the Egyptian people to believe that a dictator who has been in power for 30 years will be the one to implement democracy. I mean, this is really a farce. I mean, people here could be poor, but they're not. But they're intelligent. And the first thing which will calm the situation is for Mubarak to leave and leave with some dignity. Otherwise, I fear that things will get bloody. And you have to stop the life support to the dictator.
El-Baradei spoke by phone on the CBS News program Face the Nation. The army is struggling to hold Cairo amid the chaos. Terminals at Cairo International Airport were packed with travelers who want to get out.
This is Stephen Farrell for the New York Times in Cairo, where travelers' reactions ranged from nervous to phlegmatic. If the instability continues, it would be devastating for Egypt's tourist economy. In Cairo's five-star hotels, tourists were milling around lobbies, trying to reassure anxious families at home and chase tour companies and embassy officials to help them get out.
We could hear the sounds of a large mass of people protesting, but we did not hear the tanks, but we did see smoke from our balconies because we're up high enough. And now we're concerned whether we're going to get out at all. Six people in our group, as soon as we got to the airport Friday, they made plans to leave, and they probably were the smarter ones.
That's traveler Pam Rivers of Atlanta talking to the Times' Stephen Farrell in Cairo. The unrest in Egypt has Israel worried. Top Israeli officials have been closeted in round-the-clock strategy sessions. Israel's military planning is predicated on peace with Egypt. Not only that, the principle of trading conquered land for diplomatic ties began with Israel's 1979 peace treaty with Egypt. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has met with President Hosni Mubarak more than with any other foreign leader except President Obama. Afghanistan's main bank may have lost $900 million because of fraud and mismanagement. That's raising concern the bank could collapse, and that, in turn, could set off financial panic in Afghanistan. Want a definition of gender gap? Monday's Times says go look up Wikipedia's list of contributors. Surveys suggest less than 15% are female. Wikimedia Foundation Chief Sue Gardner has a goal of raising women to 25% by 2015, but she's running up against long-standing traditions in the computer world. Inside Monday's Times, Bolivia raised the price of gasoline 73% last month. That set off protests aimed at President Evo Morales, who triggered the increase by cutting government subsidies. Times reporter Simone Romero says the demonstrations pointed to the drain that fuel subsidies put on budgets and the political risks of cutting them. Here in New York, Mayor Michael Bloomberg is pressuring Governor Andrew Cuomo on teacher seniority. Bloomberg said that if Cuomo proposes cuts in education spending, the governor should drop a rule that protects teachers who've been on the job the longest. Bloomberg gave a bluntly worded speech at a politically influential black church on Sunday. He said the way current state law is worded, he might have to fire every teacher hired by the city over the last 5 years. That's 15,000 in all. Cuomo sent his plan to cap local property taxes to the Republican-controlled state Senate and scheduled a vote for Monday. He's apparently hoping to isolate Democrats in the state assembly who were less than enthusiastic about the bill. Inflation in China is starting to slow the country's exports. Monday's Business Day section says Western buyers are resisting the higher prices. Markups of 20 to 50% on things like shoes and polo shirts have Western multinationals scrambling for new suppliers elsewhere. All this could ease the U.S. trade deficit. A big tobacco lawsuit is due in court 12 years after it was filed. Hospitals in St. Louis sued major cigarette companies for the cost of treating smoking-related diseases. The case hasn't gotten a lot of attention lately. Times reporter Barry Myers says that may be a sign the days of cigarette litigation are numbered and the tobacco industry won't face serious financial damage. Composer Milton Babbitt is dead. He wrote complicated atonal music. Music critic Alan Kozin says Babbitt's compositions were intensely rational, but for many listeners, they were intensely hard to follow. Babbitt did have a sense of humor. He titled the piece that's playing now, The Joy of More Sextets. Milton Babbitt was 94. That's our preview of Monday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.